This is the first of our two exclusive KGEZ Good Morning Show drill downs made possible by Bailey Insurance Services. To Washington, D.C., and Bob Costantini.
Good morning, Bob.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Good to be with you. We have so many things to talk about, I suppose. We've got seven jurors chosen in the Trump hush money trial in New York and Manhattan. The House Homeland Security Committee, the Republicans at least on it, delivered their impeachment, articles of impeachment, two of them, against Alejandro Mayorkas, the Secretary of Homeland Security. They sent it to the Senate. What's going to happen there today is an interesting question, because Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader, the Democratic leader, would love to just put it aside in some way or have a motion to dismiss, handle this very quickly. Republicans, some Republicans at least, even though the outcome will be the same in the end, the two-thirds majority of the Senate is not going to vote to remove Mayorkas from his position. But some Republicans would like to make Democrats feel some pain about what they might do, especially somebody like John Tester in particular with this. They might bring this into the political realm as far as the race out there is concerned. And at the same time, Speaker Mike Johnson is also trying to figure out how he might be able to bring a Ukraine aid bill to the floor, and knowing full well that he's about to trigger at least two Republicans who want to oust him the way Kevin McCarthy was ousted with a motion to vacate the chair. So there's a lot of things going on in Washington, especially, obviously, the Trump trial is up in New York, but a lot of chess pieces at play here, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. We just talked with Senator John Tester a few moments ago, and I asked him, well, so you're going to be sworn in as a juror for the third time? And he says, yeah. And he says that's probably going to happen sometime this afternoon. He said it's, all it's going to do is just stop everything cold. We won't get anything else done until this is handled.
But Jim Jordan will have something to do, I'm guessing.
Jim Jordan, he's the chair of the Judiciary Committee.
Yeah.
But these articles of impeachment are being presented by the Homeland Security Committee. But Jim Jordan is, in terms of Speaker Johnson in particular, Jim Jordan is someone who does not want to see Ukraine aid go out there at all. Jordan is staunchly loyal to former President Trump and former President Trump loyal supporter Marjorie Taylor Greene is leading the effort to possibly kick out the speaker. So Jordan is a player in all of this, and Jim Jordan will be following what happened in the Senate as far as this trial is concerned, from what I understand. But I don't believe he'll be making if it gets to a trial, this is the interesting part. There may be opening arguments, and then some of the trial presenters from the House, Republicans in the House, will be there. Mayorkas will have some defenders maybe from the House if it gets to that. But Schumer's trying to look for some escape hatch from that trial to prevent it from just going on and dragging out for a while. But he may not be able to, from what we understand. And as I pointed out, it does not say in the Constitution that there has to be a trial when there's an impeachment. And, you can argue whether or not a quick motion to dismiss the case while the Senate sits a jury, if you will, would constitute a trial. But I don't know if it really is required, a full-blown trial. And they may have that argument for a while today as well, I guess, on the Senate side, guys.
And the other thing, of course, is what happens if they decide that they want to recall, or I should say change the chair in the House. That would mean that we're going to go through another, what, potential weeks of finding somebody else. And I think they really had trouble finding Mike Johnson to do the job.
Yes. And there are a lot of Republicans, let's face it, who do not want to go through that again. There's a hard right core of people who, including Jim Jordan, who probably are unhappy with the speaker, as we've talked about, because he kept government open with Democratic votes. And if he decides to go ahead with this Ukraine aid, then it's going to require Democratic votes. The question really is, will Democrats come to Johnson's rescue in the end if the motion to vacate the chair goes forward and gets to the House floor? Will Democrats, you know, reward him effectively, and if they can get any Ukraine aid bill moved through quickly? And here's another thing. Once the House finishes its work for this week, it is off all next week as part of, re-election campaign season for a lot of the members needing to campaign. So can they get a Ukraine aid bill and an Israel aid bill and an Indo-Pacific aid bill, all the things that President Biden wanted in a supplemental security appropriation? Can they do that by the end of this week? Can they do it together? And can they do it separately, which someone like Jordan is probably willing to accept separate aid for Israel, but the Ukraine aid is where things get real sticky as far as House Republicans are concerned, because former President Trump does not really like the idea of helping Ukraine against Russia. And he has said, at least, that it should be in the form of some kind of loan to Ukraine. And, you know, the word out of Ukraine is that they are having trouble getting conscripts to fight against Russia when the Ukrainian army on forces are running out of ammunition, running out of shells, and the like, and Russia is making the progress in the battlefield.
Now they're having to do what Barney Fife had to do on the Andy Griffith Show, called bullet maintenance.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Yes. And it is kind of like that, and it is humorous, obviously, when it's Andy Griffith. But if you're Volodymyr Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, and you've been counting on the United States to lead the way in terms of helping your military with a certain kind of shell that they need, and if they get it, they can, they can certainly do some kind of counteroffensive. But if you're waiting on that from the United States, and the president here doesn't have the authority to send those shells to Ukraine, that's what the legislation would be about. These would be American-made ammunition, shells, and other things, other equipment that would be American-made and then sent to Ukraine. But the president does not have the authority to do that anymore. They sent $200 million worth of aid from the Pentagon a couple of weeks ago. But the Ukraine's running out of time is the best way to look at it. And there are a number of Republicans who just don't think that the United States should be involved in this fight.
Well, we got that going on. We've got the trial in New York going on, and that seems to be sucking the air out of the room. And we've got a president of the United States running for re-election that's not getting covered much.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
And, interestingly enough, Biden will be in Pittsburgh today. He was in Scranton yesterday talking about Scranton values versus Trump Mar-a-Lago values and trying to play up his middle-class roots there in Scranton. And he talks about it all the time, of course. But he actually was in Scranton. He visited his childhood home once again. And he'll be in Philadelphia, I think, on Friday. Pennsylvania, obviously, being a huge state as far as his reelection chances are concerned. But what he will do in Pittsburgh today, this is interesting, is he will, in front of steel workers, he is expected to float the idea or propose the idea, whatever it is, he's going to float the idea of tripling tariffs on Chinese imported steel and aluminum. Now, steel and aluminum are huge industries in the Ohio River Valley, in the Pittsburgh area, as well as even into Ohio and into the Midwest. So this is something that, you know, it's almost Trump-like what he's going to propose later on today. If he does go ahead and propose it, this is an expectation what he's going to say in front of the steel workers. And he's looking to hopefully get an endorsement from them for his reelection campaign over Donald Trump. And, you know, he is playing the tariff card significantly today. And it's important to point out, guys, that he never rescinded the Trump tariffs on Chinese imports, which are still relatively low. And, you know, we still import a lot of stuff from China. But trade between the U.S. and China has been diminishing, in part because of those tariffs and in part because that makes it cheaper to make goods that we do import in places like Vietnam and Indonesia and there's so many other places in Asia, usually in Taiwan and the like, makes those things cheaper. The things that we import from China are less and less, actually, as it turns out.
Bob, as always, we appreciate your great reporting, and thank you for drilling down for us this morning.
All right, talk to you tomorrow. Take care. Bye.